there, it's Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello and welcome to Tracy Tully Talks. It's Tracy here and I'm beaming to you from sunny Queensland. In our studio today, I have a wonderful guest all the way from Sydney in Australia, and we have Shilpa Kalshekster. How are you, Shilpa?
Very well. Thank you, Tracy. Pleasure to be here.
Lovely to have you on board. We've waited a long time to speak together, and Shilpa is a career strategist. She's an author, and her book is a winner, and it was a winner, wasn't it? From the very first day it was published, both in Australia and India, and it's called Play It Full. Also, Shilpa has been in the corporate world and now is working as an entrepreneur. Tell us about your book, Shilpa.
Yeah, so the book, Play It Full here, as you can see it. So the idea of this book came from the fact that I was working as a coach, career coach, and there was somebody who called me from India and he wanted to do something in life. And, you know, and he said, how do you intend to reach to the people, you know, all kinds of people? Because at that time I had my coach program, and then I couldn't sleep that night. And I'm like, how can I get my world out to the wider world? You know, there are some people whom I'll be able to impact directly, but there'll be people whom I really wanted to impact indirectly as well. So came up with this idea of book, and the book is about playing it full in life. So what happens is, most of the time we live life in this linear pattern. When we are young, we run behind the career, you know, so we want to take our achievements to the highest level. We want to work with the best companies. We want to make a lot of money. So we run behind it. And at a certain point in life, we realize that, oh my God, we have not taken care of our family. So we go back running, hold their hand, and we try to bring them together on the journey, only to realize that we are huffing, we are puffing, we are panting because our health is not up to date. Right, we have ignored it in the process. So Play It Full is about playing it full in all areas of life, achievements and relationships, as well as health. Nothing is over other, and all three have to be worked on parallelly, simultaneously, and not in a linear pattern. Yeah.
I love it. I love the story you've just shared with us, the basis for your book. And it is a bestseller too. It was a bestseller from day one in publishing, which is an accomplishment. So congratulations for that, Shilpa. But the analogy there of running all the time is absolutely correct. And we hear it every day with everyone we speak to, no matter where you are, what country you are in the world, it's the same thing. It's this constant pace, this fast pace. And we need, or we feel that we need to fulfill that running race, and it's a marathon or long distance endurance race, that's for sure. It is a marathon because we need to tick all the boxes in terms of our work pledges and our commitments and responsibilities. But finding that work balance, because we have our families as well, is the critical one. Tell me a bit about work balance there, Shilpa.
Right. So it's great that you brought out that word balance, because I would tell you, Tracy, this word balance, it actually made me a mediocre. And I'll go back to those years, you know, when you, as I said, while you start in life, you want to get to your very best, but then slowly the challenges in life start to show up. And your family needs attention, especially for women, family, children, your spouse, you know, your career takes a secondary position, and you get lured by this word called work-life balance. And somewhere in our life, we start settling for an average life, for a mediocre life. We don't realize it, but in our mind, we are constantly telling that our families is the biggest priority. And don't take me wrong, my family is the biggest thing that I have. But in the same process, somewhere we went and forget about this. And that monster of balance, I say that that monster ate up all my excellence over a period of 5 years, because I got lured by it. It started attracting me. And it was this monster of balance was making a loud noise in all the corporate workplaces. Over the last decade, it has become the buzzword, balance, work-life balance. It's great to play it full, but balance is what pushes us towards mediocrity. So I would say if we are sitting on a seesaw trying to balance it hard, you can imagine how difficult it gets, right? We're trying to balance, trying to do it, and what it pushes us is towards an average life. If we're just sitting, think about the pressure it has on the body. But if you just let it go, touch the highs, because they belong to you. And there'll be lows, I agree, but those highs will make up for those lows, and the life will become much more juicy, and you'll feel that you have achieved something in life. So that's how out of balance the plateful concept came, and I pulled myself from balance towards playing it full. Everything is important, but nothing is on top of that. There doesn't need to be a balance. Play full everywhere, and we can.
I love it. I love your attitude. So the seesaw that we find ourselves in, the seesaw that we're trying desperately to regulate, so we're pushing and trying to push against what needs to happen naturally, is what you're saying. So to let that balance go, to step off the seesaw and let the seesaw hit the top and take us with it for the ride. That is what it's about, isn't it? Playing and play. You get one life, don't we? One life, and we need to live it. We need to live it to our fullest capacity. And I hear what you're saying, and a lot of people miss that. I hear so many people get to a stage or a point in their life, and I certainly did, and I can actually remember the very moment it happened when I said to myself, is this it? Is this all there is to life? And the answer was no, and we can't keep going the way we're going. So I love what you're saying in terms of letting go, stepping back, jumping off the seesaw and let it flip up and see at the heights that it takes you to. So I love the word that you're using, mediocrity. Tell me, what does murdering mediocrity mean for you when I hear you say that?
Yeah. A lot of people approach me on LinkedIn asking, why did I use such a powerful word called murdering? Like it's something which carries a negative connotation. But you know what, Tracy? I have been a victim of this mediocrity, this balance for 5 years in my corporate career. I didn't realize, because I stayed in that illusion that I'm still that high performer. I'm still that 19-year-old who has that fire in the belly. But I didn't. That fire had dried up and I had become a mediocre. The thing was that that mediocre face kept showing me, I kept getting glimpses of it, but I shoved it away. 4 a.m. when you get up and you're all by yourself and a voice comes, just like you said, that is that it? I used to get exactly the same voice where I would say, yes, I am a project manager. I'm a wonderful mom. I am a great wife. I'm a good friend. I'm a good person. But is that it? Is there nothing more to life? Like, I still don't feel that, there's no place for good in the world. I want not to be excellent, but to be outstanding. But how do I become? And I kept pushing that voice down until one day, while I was leading a huge initiative with 5 vendors in Westpac, after 9 years, my position became redundant. And it was at that time that I realized I had been lying to myself. I had become a mediocre and I didn't take it seriously. So my war today, in fact, really, really, I'm on this war against mediocrity, because I know a lot of people are sucked up that game. They have given to a mediocre lifestyle, because nowadays the corporate jobs are such that you can afford everything and you stay in that illusion of having a successful life. But are they feeling really successful in here? That's the question. And if not, then I would ask, are you living a mediocre life? And if yes, then, you know, there's no place for mediocre. So there's no other way but to murder that mediocrity and step into your power zone where you make your life a masterpiece.
It's interesting because you talked about when you were young and your passion for learning, which has stayed with you all your life. And I can understand that because I'm a very passionate lifelong learner myself. But it's there at that young age that I wonder if we can change things, because one of my big passions is education. And I noticed that if we take creativity away from children, which is what we have done worldwide, we have taken that creativity away and we've deprofessionalized teachers. And therefore, we haven't allowed kids to flourish, be creative, and therefore passionate, and to keep searching for what is possible, all those opportunities. And then as we grow up in this standardized world, because schools is either academic or it isn't. There's no other option. You're either academic or you're not. And if you're not academic, you've got vocation education to go to. And at the end of the day, that doesn't fit society or doesn't fit the social structures and the economics of our world. So that many, many people come to where you are and feel mediocre. They feel, is that it? Mediocre. I trudge through each day. I wake up in the morning. I go to work. I eat my lunch and I come home. And day in, day out, day in. And this routine stifles us. And it's the same routine in schools that suffocates kids, that they can't really flourish. And we have this mistake even in education where it's, STEM is the answer to all our problems. False, it isn't. STEM is one element that should have been there 2 decades ago and it's only just come in. So I love what you're saying. And tell us about your background and what prompted you to jump into your journey as a coach. I know that you said that in the corporate world you were made redundant, but what happened in your background there that led to your journey as a coach now?
So what really happened was at that point where I was made redundant, I realized that I have given control to somebody else in my life, the external people, which is not really good. I am the CEO of my life. I need to get the control back. And then there was this question of which a lot of people struggle with. What is my passion? What should I do? I look back at my corporate journey of 6 years and realize that what was that biggest element of my job that I really enjoyed, that gave me juices. And I realized that over the years, what I loved was growing people, seeing growth around me. So people will come to my team. And I think the best thing and the thing that I enjoyed was helping them grow. They will come as blank paper. And over the years, they would grow into a completely different individual. And they'll keep coming back to me for advices relating to their career, relating to their family, and that relationships I would get into with these people. I had been a coach throughout. Mm-hmm. Informally. And that's where I told myself, I've done it. Yes, I've done it informally, but can I make it as the way of life? And that's where I got a coach for myself, because you just really cannot do something unless you're practicing it yourself if you want to be at that excellent level. So I got a coach for myself so that I can fill in all the gaps. I can really understand myself as a individual. I said before out on this team, and with the help of that coach, I started finding my missing pieces, because you just cannot pour from a hollow cup. So I started finding my missing pieces, put them all together, and I realized what has been the story of my life. Where was it that I didn't step up, and where was it that I stepped up? And then I started this journey when I got into this powerful format where I felt that I could conquer the world. I'm not scared of anything. I thought, yes, I've done it. Now let me go and hold other people's hand and help them, help make them even better than me, much more powerful than me. And that's where this coach was born. And I'm enjoying it. I'm living every day, and I'm sleeping every day. It's a very fulfilled life as a coach.
And you're very, very passionate about your trade and what you do, which is lovely to hear. And enjoying that empowerment, empowering other people to grow. It's a fabulous, fabulous feeling, isn't it? To help others find the door, I always refer to, open up the door and step out. And then when you're really comfortable, shut the door behind you so you cannot go back. And then you're on the highway. And then you're on the highway to finding yourself and improving and searching for that opportunity to be better and to seek more out of the world. Because when we want to seek more in the world, it's not just about money or career. It can be about a whole range of things, doesn't it? And your passion is helping people. And then once we've got to that point, then we can actually come off the highway and we can actually go on the runway. And that's when we take off. That's how I see it all. And it's quite a process. And a lot of people need a coach or a mentor to hold their hand and guide them to do that. So passion is a buzzword nowadays, and it certainly has. I know in my last career as an educator, I got told a lot that I was very passionate, and I am very passionate, and I don't apologize for it either. But most people struggle with finding their passion. And when you were at a crossroads, how did you know that transforming those lives was your passion? What was it?
So what told me was, I loved growth. So as I said, the best element of my job was growing people. Now with passion, Tracy, what happens is that a lot of people get stuck in that. Is that the right thing? Is that the thing? Or is there something else? They get into this analysis by paralysis, and that's the reason they're not able to step forward. So what I would suggest is take a step and see whether you like it. You know, date various things. It's like when you want to find the right guy or the right girl for yourself, you have to date several people to get to the one with whom you can, you know, relate to and create that partnership for life. So unless you date different things, you cannot really figure out what is your passion. And find it out. There's three that I would say. One, do you really love it? Does it give you juices? Do you enjoy doing it? Will you do that even if nobody asks you? Like, it's like dancing. People who love dancing, they dance whether people are seeing them or not. So will you do that even when nobody's watching you or asking you to do? The second thing, can that be the purpose of your life? Do you see yourself doing it all your life and enjoying it to the core? And the third thing is, will people pay you for that? And the third part is also very important, because a lot of people start with something that they call passion. But if you cannot make something financially viable, it will die out. You know, it will collapse one day. So it is a matter of finding the right thing and making it as the way of life so that you can live loving it and make some money in the process. Because a lot of people, if you ask people, you'll realize that if you ask them, what kind of do you want to say, wonderful, I'm looking for this kind of family and I want this and that. Then you ask, what kind of health do you want? You'll say, I want to be on top of my health. What kind of money do you want? Just a little bit, just enough. Why is it a sin to make money? And that's what I teach my clients. Live your life full, make loads of money so that you can do more of what you love and you can give more of what you have. So if you think that richness is a problem, you're not giving enough of it. So make money and give more of it so that you can have a fulfilled life. That's what I call as really nailing the passion and making sure that you can live it through the ages.
Oh, I like that. And it's interesting you talk about dancing. Dancing is something that a lot of people don't do, like singing. They probably do it in the shower or when no one's looking, or in the car, belt out a tune or two. And dancing is a creative part of us. And once again, when I look at our educational institutions, it's missing, it's absent, it's virtually not there. In fact, I can be very confident as an expert in 40 years in education, it's definitely not there. So what happens then with our students growing up is they're dumbed down and not allowed to dance and feel that great joy. And we've got really big people in the world, like big speakers and thinkers and thought leaders like Brené Brown. who talks about dancing and to become wholehearted. So how to work through your vulnerability, get out and dance, do your dance. And also Sir Ken Robinson, a brilliant orator and educator, a researcher across the world, once again, who also refers to dancing. So I'm hearing you talking about dancing, but I don't hear a lot of other people, coaches, talking about dancing. And that's where I think, once again, we come back to education when we're young doesn't set us up to look for or search for what you're talking about, which is really good. Now, how smooth was your transition from your job in the corporate world across to entrepreneurship? Because no doubt yourself and myself meet a lot of people wanting to make that transition who are stuck or have just jumped off the corporate world and feel terrified, like they're drowning because they really don't know what they're doing. Did you face any challenges, Shilpa?
Absolutely. If we can, if I could say that I got success or I got here without failure, it would be a complete lie, you know? So when I left the corporate, I was like, you know, as I said, I felt that I could conquer the world, I could transform the lives. And yes, I did. I was able to create those huge results. And that's why I call myself a result coach, somebody who can produce results. Because if you're a coach and if you cannot produce results, it is not going to go anywhere. But I did struggle with one thing, and which I think a lot of people in the corporate struggle with, if they get into entrepreneurship and sales. So sales and the money mindset. So first is money mindset. I felt that I had enough money and I don't have to earn money in the process. So I had to get my money mindset right, that it is not a sin to earn money, because I wanted to make a difference, but money was not my top thing. So I had to get my money mindset right, that the more money I earn, the more I'll be able to give. And it has been true. Like, I have been able to impact so many lives where they couldn't afford, just because I'm making money and I'm able to give it to them. The second thing was the sales, which is another biggest struggle that new entrepreneurs go through. They don't know how to sell to the people. Corporate teaches us delivery. We have all created results in our corporate. But when it comes to approaching the people, selling them, or, you know, in fact, in the corporate, the money comes to your bank account, your salary comes in. No matter how you're performing, you'll get that fat paycheck every month, month by month. So you're not challenging yourself. It's a big different, Tracy, when you just in the market and you are saying that I'm there to sell me, myself, my services, and pay me for that. It's a very different feeling, and you need to really be able to sell yourself. And if you can't do that, no matter how good you are, you'll not be able to sustain. So that was another thing, sales. And I realized that my biggest breakthrough was sales is service, because it is not about feeling guilty that you're selling someone your service. It is about going with a service mindset that if I'm able to make this sale, I will be able to transform one more life and actually exceeding your own expectations in doing that. So that was a challenge. Initially, for a couple of months, both me and my husband jumped into this, became a coach. For the first 2-3 months, we did struggle with sales, but then, you know, we learned, we got the right coach. We learned how to actually make business. And now that we crossed $500,000 own business, we started teaching them to other people who are in the corporate, who want to get into entrepreneurship, but they really don't know how to transition safely. And that's what I say, create, jump, but jump with a parachute. So I help people jump with a parachute so that they don't have to go through those struggles that I had with my money mindset and my sales mindset.
I love it. And it is a big jump, I can assure every one of our listeners. It's a huge, huge mammoth jump. And the problem being that, though, is if you choose to make that jump as a natural progression in your career, and you've got your home and your family and you've got plenty of money in the bank, and so you really don't have too many worries, then it's not as bad as if you're forced out, you're kicked out by the seat of your pants because jobs have closed. And this is what's going to happen a lot right now, and we're going to see a big issue next year. We all know that as the economy struggles with the deficit this year. So then what happens to people who have become very fearful because they're forced into this other world and they actually feel that they're not good enough to get a job, or they don't know what job actually suits them because they've never allowed themselves to try different opportunities and play it full, as you say. So that's really good to know and understand that for many, many people, and this is what I hear, but it's almost like the elephant in the room, that money mindset is one of the first things that we need to get right, isn't it? That money mindset, that you're here, you're doing a job, and it's no different to buying an ice cream, a milkshake, or going to Woolworths. It's a service. So a fee for service is very much what life is about, isn't it? And a lot of people need a coach or a mentor to help them. So who is Shilpa? Who is Shilpa, not as the coach, but as the woman behind your $500,000 business and the founder of Scintillate Business? Who is Shilpa? Tell us about you.
So if I describe Shilpa, behind the scenes, so she's a wife, she's a mom, she's somebody who loves life. Life is beautiful, and who understands her responsibility. Like, I've got two girls, growing them up into wonderful human beings where they can actually live a life of their choice. Shilpa is someone for whom her clients are part of her extended family, you know. So I live and breathe. I am actually a mirror of my clients. And that's the way I like, you know, you can see a lot of passion in that, but that's the way I like to live my life. Shilpa is someone who loves to live each day with an intention and not with a to-do list, because to-do lists just don't work. Mm-hmm. Shilpa is someone who enjoys every moment of that. She's not in a race. She's not in competition with anybody else. She just wants to get to her very best. And I know the journey doesn't end. It just keeps going up and up. So I am on my path to learn and to make myself a better individual, and the people around me, my family, my clients, and all those people that I can touch in this world.
So what are your hobbies? How do you relax, Shilpa?
Relaxing is, I love cooking. I love spending time with my daughters, and I would want to actually bring back to the topic that you talked about, education. So it's wonderful to, you know, when we are with our children, it is very different from what it was when it was our time. So I've got two daughters. One of them, she is really into education. So she says, "Mama, can I do uni for 9 years? Because this is what I want to do, or maybe 12 years because want to come back and do it." And I say, "Yes, very well, go do it." And she has been a state topper, and she loves the languages, not the traditional STEM, but languages. She's a languages girl, and she's actually blooming and prospering, very responsible girl. So that's one face of education that I see. And the other face I see in my younger one, and she's like, "Mom, do I really need to do all these subjects? Why do I need to do maths when I know I will not be using it later? What is the use?" So she questions everything. And for her, what I say is that find your passion. And she says, "Okay, after year 12, maybe I'll take a break and I'll go traveling countries." I say that it's not a problem. You go travel around the world because it's the best way to learn, but go with a purpose. So find your purpose. So she's in year 10. I said, "You have 2 more years. I've enrolled her for, I don't know if you've heard about Mind Valley, an alternative school of education where they teach children about finding their purpose and, you know, connecting with themselves, become fully aware of who they are, understanding their strengths and all those things that we are learning in this age are teaching the children at that age." So she's more into that. She's more on the side, and she's about her purpose. So there are different phases of education that I see in my own house, and I love to spend time and learn from both of them. That is literally my pastime, along with gardening, which I do sometimes to keep myself grounded.
Lovely. Two beautiful children, one in grade 10 and one in grade 12, did you say?
One in uni, first year.
University. And what's she studying?
She's studying languages, so French, Korean, and English.
Right. Excellent. So We have two very different children there. And of course, everyone has different children because they're all unique, aren't they? We are all unique. So everyone has a different focus in their life. Yet we have an education that wants to cluster us into this little ball, and that's what fits. So it's all about conforming to a style of education that was developed back in the industrial era. And it hasn't worked, and it still isn't working now. So for me, I ask the question often, so when is the wake-up call going to come to the politicians to say, oops, we better change education, and likewise to the universities? And we need to look at the crux of it, which is our teachers. Why aren't our teachers teaching, why aren't our universities teaching our teachers to help our students become creative? And that's probably not their fault. They'd probably like to. And it's probably the system that's stopping that. It's lovely that you're having that narrative in your family. You're having those conversations with your kids, talking about finding your passion and purpose first, finding your identity. And for a lot of people who are leaving the corporate world or leaving a job where they've had that consistent pay package every fortnight or week, and then going out on their own, it would be very, very daunting. So most people stay in safe jobs because they have security, or they think they have security. But the whole world has changed now, and so we can't rely on security anymore. And we talked earlier about balance, and you talked about the seesaw. Why is it, Shilpa, that people grab on to that sense of security and that day job? Why isn't it when they leave school they don't feel confident enough to just go forth and explore?
So for most people, Tracy, the biggest human need they have is certainty. And that's the way, like, school has made us, education has made us. We are all wrapped in a brown paper, and we are comfortable being a brown paper. We want that certainty that we'll have, we want to have a roof, we want to have food. And I know the world has moved beyond the basic necessities of life. So we want to have a car, we want to have a house, and we buy a house and we spend our life paying that mortgage. We stay in houses, we leave early morning. Every morning we leave in a car, which is on mortgage. We leave that house, which is on mortgage, work so that we can come and sleep, spend a few hours in that. So we work on a job that is able to pay for that mortgage, for a house in which we don't spend our, 24 hours even. So this is what has become the way of life. But I know, and most of us know that there's no security. There's no security in jobs. It's all changing. Automation is coming. Technology is changing the world, which is in front of us. So if we can move, and I know this is something which I did intentionally. So maybe we need to step into that with an intention that rather than making certainty as our biggest need, intentionally pull uncertainty, get used to uncertainty, start taking juices in that. And while you are looking for that variety, that uncertainty, be absolutely certain that whatever you're going to pick up, you're going to can make that deliberate change, that conscious change, embracing uncertainty. With certainty, I think we'll be able to remove that cloak of contentment in which we are living our life. And we'll be able to step into, I always say, not excellence, but into our outstanding zone.
Absolutely. Take off that cloak of certainty and step out of your comfort zone. And we're not doing that to our kids, are we? We're preparing the kids for the outside world in grade 12. And how are we doing that? Well, as a principal, I know exactly how we're doing that. We're not doing it very well. We make sure that they understand they can't drink and drive. We make sure that they understand, the horrors out there in terms of rape and assault. We make sure that there's a lot of emphasis on a party at the end of the year and getting your license. The emphasis is on all the wrong things in a school. What we should be putting emphasis on is the fact that the rite of passage actually doesn't really occur. And we're not on a linear path. It's just another movement to another style of rite. And the rite of passage is half the problem. And we know in the media here in Sydney, we're hearing right now is about the dreadful boys at a certain school who've got a checklist that's circulated and for their rite of passage when they left school. Absolutely horrifying. And obviously it's going to be a very big issue for that school and other schools to look at, that we celebrate the rite of passage at school. We have our, semi-formals and our formals, and then heaven forbid they go and have schoolies week. And as I said to my kids, you're not going on schoolies week because you haven't earned any money, so I'm not paying for you to go just because you finished year 12. Billions and billions of kids all over the world have finished year 12. What else can you be doing? I know what you can be doing. You can go and get a job and start working, and then you might be able to pay for a holiday or something. So with my kids, I actually said to both of them, my husband and I, they had to go and work in a pub. And we chose a pub for two reasons. Number one is because we wanted them to see the real world and from the eyes of other people. And we also wanted them to understand how to communicate with different types of people, because without good communication, kids will struggle as they move from that cloistered, protected school environment out into the big world, unless they have those opportunities. So the rite of passage in our family was, you go and get a job and you'll start the first week out of school, you'll go and work in a pub. And it worked extremely well for our children, because I'd rather have them behind the bar serving than wasting their time and money drinking all night and getting drunk and doing all the things that happen, as was the rite of passage of us when we left school. So I love what you said there, but there was also another word that I captured in what you've been talking about. And you talked about being a results coach, and you talked about being wrapped in brown paper. Boy, I love that. I love that term, being wrapped in brown paper. And we just need to tie a bit of string on there as well. Health was what I was talking about. You mentioned health. And without good health, then everything else topples over, doesn't it? So as a results coach, tell me what you do in and around that.
So I do work on the complete overall development of an individual. And it's not something like, you tick the boxes, because life is much more than ticking the boxes. It is about being, health is not about having a certain weight. I know those are some measurements which, everybody has got their own measurements, but it is not about being fat or thin or, it is about being on top of your energy, on top of your vitality. So any point of time in the day, and I was talking to a client yesterday night, and at any point of time in the day, you feel that you're not on the top of your energy, you need to check it. Why is that happening? What are you not doing enough? And it happens with people at a certain age, and it happens more with women, that we do the household work. In Australia, we do everything with our own hands, and I take a lot of pride in doing that. I love it. And we walk and we say, yes, we have done our exercise. What about strength training? What about building the muscles? Because after an age, if you do not take care of yourself, you start losing that energy. You start getting tired very soon. So that's the check I think everybody should have at 10:30 or 11 p.m. in the night. Are you still feeling on top of your energy? If not, then what is the gap that you need to fill? Recently, I've got a, so I know all the gyms and all closed, go to them. I have a personal trainer who is from India. And I know when I was getting him, I was like, where will I get time in the day to do that for myself? Because afternoon I have clients, evening I have clients, and then I'm working on strategy and this and that. But then I said, no, my health, if I crumble, nobody will come to my rescue. I have the responsibility, 100% responsibility of every aspect of my life. So got this personal trainer, and somehow magically, Tracy, 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. every day, I spend a wonderful time with him. I've magically found this time in my day. So time is always there. we just are not making it our priority. So if we can make that the priority, check our energy levels, our vitality level, you can have a wonderful life. You're in for a life of surprises where you are enjoying every moment because you don't want to run. You want to enjoy what you are doing.
I love your language, Shilpa, and I love the words you're choosing because they're words that we've forgotten, like vitality. We've forgotten those words, haven't we? They've sort of got shoved under the duvet cover while we hide away from the world in fatigue. And fatigue really comes from stress, doesn't it? From the stress of being mediocre and unfulfilled. So we are on a roundabout in life, aren't we? Constantly the coming off or turning around. And we need to bring back that vitality in our life. And the only way we can do that is by actually checking in. And once again, seeking a mentor or a coach who can help us do that if we're not doing it. And that's very, very important. Finding 1 hour a day is not hard. It's no different to finding an hour a day to sitting down with your family and eating and talking, as we have all lost that ability to do growing up because of the TV. Everyone sat in front of the TV and ate. And I know as an educator, I could stand in front of kids every day and say, who ate dinner in front of TV last night? And everyone's hands would go up. And then I'd say, and tell me, put your hands up, if you sat around the dinner table and talked last night. And you see the kids looking at each other, and you might see, a few kids put their hands up and think, good on you, and celebrate that. So it's our ability to organise our day. And you mentioned that you don't like checklists. Neither do I. I don't believe in them. They don't work. I don't believe. However, I do allow 3 a day. I have 3 priorities in my day that I make sure that I do, and I thoroughly recommend from everyone else, and I know you would too. And that is to set your mindset right at the very beginning of the day so that you have that outlook about preparing for the day, so that you're kicking all your goals that you want to kick for yourself, like doing your hour from 12:30 to 1:30 with your coach. So your mindset was really good, and you talked about the money mindset and how you talked about a Mind Valley program. That was a school in Sydney, was it? Is that?
No, that's in the US. That's an alternate school of education by Vishen Lakhani. So what they teach is the skills that we have not learned till we reach this stage. Like, at least I got introduced to it when I started my 40s. So it is about the mindset. It is about courage. It is about actions. It is about what part of life you can automate. It is about being fully aware of who you are, what your strengths are, and not worrying too much about the weaknesses. Because most of the time we worry about what we don't have rather than concentrating on what we have. So it is bringing the emphasis on the right things in life, especially for the young children. So it is not about, no longer. I remember when I was small, I was asked that if I got 9 out of 10 in maths, I was asked, where did you lose 1 mark? It is not about asking that question now. Times have changed. It is about, what do you love? Which subject do you love? And what do you love about it? What extra do you want to do in that subject? What additional help you need? You know, how to expose them, travel with the children, show them places. That is the need of the hour. So Mind Valley is setting up the foundation. It's the alternative school of education, which I think each of our children, I'm really passionate about it because I'm in this world and I'm exposing my daughters to that, and then they can choose what they want. So, but at least they will be in a position where they feel confident enough that they are making the right choice. And it doesn't matter. They can change the choice later. You're never fixed in a box, but at least they know what they are starting with. They give 100% to it. If they don't like it, move on. There are other choices to make in life.
That's right. And it's interesting you're talking about this area because, our own children are all brought up with contract work. So you're all on contract, whereas we are brought up that you'll have this job, forever until you retire. But we have, in your 60s, but we have an education system that wouldn't have a clue what it's going to be like in 60 years' time, therefore can't prepare the kids for retirement in 60 years' time. And it's all about achievement and comparison. So comparing yourself. So you talked about getting 9 out of 10 for a test, and whoops, where did that 1 point go? And that's what our education system is about. Who got the 10 out of 10 instead of how can you improve yourself? What is it that you need to do for yourself? If you even want that one more, you might be more than happy with 9 out of 10. And why shouldn't you be? You know, there's nothing wrong with 9 out of 10. So we've got that narrative that we have to fix in the education of our children and the whole world that sits around there. And it starts at school. And then it moves to the universities. So the universities need to take charge of that as well, because with our teachers, they prepare them for planning and they prepare them for curriculum. They don't prepare them for the horrors of schooling, and that's very simply behaviour or misbehaviour. They don't prepare them, and nobody can prepare anyone for that sort of thing unless they've lived in it, talked it, breathed it and eaten it all their lives. You can't have a professor stand up in front of a group of students, teachers, and say, this is what you do to prevent behavior, when your ice 13-year-old ice addict down the end of the room has just left the planet and is a knife-wielding berserker. So there's a lot of things there that we need to change. And I can hear that that's in your narrative, looking at this change. And that comes to my next question. You help people get rid of their shackles. And this is I'm hearing you talk about courage, losing their fear of courage, or even being aware that courage is okay. You know, not fear of courage, fear of vulnerability, I should be saying, to be courageous and being able to do that. So you're obviously an expert in that area of getting rid of your shackles. Do you have any shackles that you'd like to share with our listeners?
My own shackle. Yes, each of us, like no one is superhuman. All of us are human. And even if we control, it keeps coming back. So my biggest shackle, and I'll talk about it. And most of the people, my clients were surprised. Like this morning I was talking to a client and he was saying, I didn't know that was your shackle. And my biggest limiting belief is that I'm not comfortable in front of camera. And people get surprised, but it is like, I want to bring it to a level. I know I still shy away from camera. Like if there's an opportunity, I'll say, I have that moment of hesitation, but I want to break it because that's the only hesitation I have. Why do I have that moment of hesitation? So this is the challenge I have put myself to. I did Tony Robbins event on the weekend, and this was my biggest limiting belief that I'm working towards, that I love camera. I want to be at that position where I don't have that moment of hitch before I stand up and face the camera. So that's my limiting belief. Will I say the right things? You know, all of us have got those things. Will I be able to do it? And that's only associated with camera. I'm perfectly fine when I am, you know, coaching. Like I've coached more than 250 people in the last 1 year. That's not a problem. I know I create results, but camera is still, you know, it's still not my strongest point.
Well, congratulations, because you're on camera today. So you'll be able to find yourself on YouTube, and all your clients will be able to see you on YouTube as well when this program goes to across the universe to the YouTube world. And so well done. But I can hear what you're saying, because that's one of the areas that I actually coach in, is speaking, confidence in conversations, communicating, connecting and speaking at every level, whether it's just one-on-one or whether it's in a work presentation, going to a party with people you don't know, or speaking on a stage. And it's something like singing and dancing that people aren't taught at school. And it always never seemed to fascinate me, always fascinated me, I should say, that students weren't taught how to communicate correctly, but their some of their assessment, and a good part of their assessment meant they had to stand up in front of the class and talk. And I don't think I met many children who enjoyed that, who felt they did it well and really struggled with it. And it never ceased to amaze me that no one bothered teaching them the mechanics and techniques of speaking in front of other people and how to enjoy and love it. So you appear to be quite at home now, in front of the camera now, and enjoying it. So are you enjoying today?
Yeah, absolutely. So Tracy, I would say it is about courage. It is about finding, knowing that, like having that certainty, like whatever comes up, I'll be able to handle it and handle it with the best that I could give to it. So, and it is about being spontaneous, you know, if we can embrace it, a lot of things we have to consciously embrace. If we can do that, if we can have the courage, you know, it's a completely different life.
Exactly. I love it. Now we're almost at an end today. So before I wrap up, please tell me, do you have any words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners today, Shilpa?
Absolutely. So I would like to share one of the biggest learnings that I had from until date. I call it my biggest learning. So I was talking to this gentleman from India, Major DP Singh. So he lost his leg in war, and he is called the he's a marathon runner. So when he lost his leg, the biggest thing that came to his mind was that what is the most difficult thing that I can put myself to? And he's called the Blade Runner of India. Hi. And when I was talking to him, there was something that I learned, which I want to share with the audience. At any point of time in life where you want to do something, the first step is to understand where you are. Be completely aware of who you are, what your strengths are, and then look forward. Look at that destination in the GPS. So once you have your location put in the GPS, you fully understand where you stand. Then it is about understanding what destination do you want to go to, putting in there, and then carving the path. From here to here, how are you going to walk? What are the additional things you need? What help do you need? What is the gap? Filling that gap and walking that path with complete certainty. I'm a huge fan of certainty in uncertainty. You may not know the path, but don't worry about the hows. Just understand, why do I want to walk the path? Why do I want to get there? And everything you there might be problems, there might be challenges, there might be blockers, but you'll be able to get rid of everything if your why is clear and you know that you have to get there at any cost. So enjoy the journey, the roller coaster ride, because that's what makes life colorful and juicy when you're working towards a big dream. So assess where you are, assess where you want to go, understand what additional things you need to get, and just enjoy the path.
I love it. And that's the best advice that I agree that you could give to people, is to recognize who you are and your identity in the world and your purpose for you, not anyone else. Forget about what everyone else is saying. Mix yourself up amongst like-minded people who will help lift you and empower you to achieve what you need to achieve. And let yourself be prepared to find your identity or your purpose or your passion, and it may come in any different ways that you may not even see. So there's a fellow who, Major DP Singh, who's a marathon runner, and he's known as the Blade Runner, and good on him. So just before we wrap up, then I'd just like to share with our listeners today that it was lovely to have Shilpa from Sydney here, and I look forward to catching up with you in Sydney in November, Shilpa. I think we've got a lot more to talk about that we've only just touched on today, and thank you for coming and sharing your words of wisdom and what you do as a career strategist and founder of your business called Scintillate. So for those people who are listening today, we have talked about education a lot. And education, as I mentioned in my last show, is something that's going to be around for a fair while for me on this show, right up until the end of this year. And the reason being is because it needs to be. In every way and form, it needs to be. So I'd love to invite you to pop into my website, www.tracytully.com, no E's. And I would love you, if you are an educator, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world, I'd love to hear from you. If you could please email me, if you're prepared to talk to me about your journey in education, please email me on mrwcoaching@gmail.com. And with the aviation lingo, that's a Mike Romeo Whiskey. Mike Romeo Whiskey Coaching at gmail.com, mrwcoaching@gmail.com, using those aviation call signs. But I'm really keen to hear from anyone doesn't matter where you are in the world, and Queensland, about your journey in education. And I'm very keen to hear from you for a lot of reasons, because I write articles and I talk about education, being an expert in it. So hop across to my Option B website. So my second website is www.mrwcoaching.com, and read my article, Muzzle the Mob. And then if you're interested, really interested, come and chat to me. I really would like to speak to anyone in that realm of education. So we'd like to say farewell. Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points in tracytully.com and at bbsradio.com, /Tracy Tully talks. And tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Come and visit our website, bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. Scroll down to the bottom page and leave us some information. And until next Thursday, when we're talking about homeschooling with Dee Stearman, then I'll say bid you farewell. Thank you so much for listening today. Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence, and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.